Hi and welcome everyone. This is Megan Tuttle. I'm president for NEA New Hampshire. And we are here with Executive Counselor Cindy Warmington just to talk a little bit about education in New Hampshire, the Executive Council. As you all hopefully know, we have some elections coming up this year. We have a primary September 13th, and then of course we have the general elections in November. As we've been saying over and over, every single time I meet with members and every time I see people, elections matter. And so we're setting up a series of podcasts so that you can hear from the people that we are recommending for you to vote for and hear a little bit about why they're running, how they feel about education, and just some different topics of interest to you. So we'll get started. So thank you, Counselor, for coming in today. And really just the first question, I'll leave it right with you. Why are you running?
Well, for the last 2 years, I have been the lone Democrat on the Executive Council, as you know, fighting for reproductive rights, for workers' rights, for healthcare, which is my background, and also for public education. And we have seen so many crazy things happen on the Council, starting with the rejection of $27 million in vaccine funding, which after a good deal of work and really talking to the public about how damaging that vote was, we were able to get that reversed. Fighting for the Planned Parenthood contracts, which this council has defunded. That's defunding, you know, cancer screenings. It's defunding contraception and sexually transmitted disease testing and treatment. And really just really trying to educate the public about how important the work of the council is. And with respect to education, this council has approved $40 million in charter school funding, which is really intended to divert money away from public schools. They have supported the voucher program, which, as you know, was budgeted to be $130,000. It is now $8 million. That's something that's going to come right back to the taxpayers. And they have reappointed Frank Edelblut as Commissioner of Education, someone who simply does not believe in public education. So I am running to keep up the good work, to keep up the fight. I hope that I will be joined by other Democrats on the Executive Council who believe that public education and public taxpayer money should go for public schools. And I'm working very hard to make that happen, to gain a majority on the Executive Council.
Yeah, we're hoping you do as well. it's you know, critical for everything you just said to have you back on the Executive Council, to elect some other, you know, pro-public education people to be on the council to make sure that public education in New Hampshire is saved, really, because at this point it's a critical point that we're at to make sure that it's not being, you know, dismantled. You mentioned the voucher and the underfunding of it, or the under anticipated estimate, I guess you could say, of it. And it is interesting to note that it was about 80 or 85% of families or people that took advantage of the vouchers were already in private or religious schools. So people aren't leaving public schools as much as people think they are. And the overwhelming majority of parents that we poll love their public schools. They love the public educators that they work with every day and that their children see. So we need you back on the council as well. Just looking at kind of the state of public education in New Hampshire, you know, you said a little bit about this, but if you could just go a little further, you know, you've often been this whole year the lone voice in opposing the efforts of Commissioner Edelblut and whatever it is he's trying to do. Could you just remind our members a little bit? And again, we represent about 17,000 members across New Hampshire. We represent teachers, paraprofessionals, secretaries, food service workers, aides, tutors, bus drivers, custodians. So if they're in a school, a public school, there's a good chance we represent them. But just remind them how important a role that the Executive Council plays in keeping the commissioner in check.
So the Executive Council is really the one place in our government where we get to ask the commissioner questions, and he has to respond to those questions. If the commissioner wants any contracts approved, they have to come to the council, and he has to come and answer the council's questions. And there are also opportunities then to ask questions, off-agenda questions that we want to know about, because our constituents may be reaching out to us, and many educators have reached out to me in the course of my term and have prompted questions of the commissioner. You know, I, for instance, asked the commissioner about that $130,000 estimate and how it ballooned into $8 million and how that was going to impact property taxpayers. And, you know, really, he has to respond to those kinds of questions. And, you know, he told me that the estimate was based on the closest program he could find, which was Arizona. And I pointed out to him that Arizona actually wasn't similar, because it did not allow families whose children were not previously in public school to take advantage of the program. And did he point out that discrepancy to the legislature? And of course he had not. He just took the program that he said was most similar. It was obviously quite dissimilar and resulted in a huge amount of money. So that certainly getting the opportunity to ask him questions in public and get him on the record is an important role that the council has. We can ask him for additional information to bring forward to the council. We get to ask questions about all of the contracts that are brought before the council, including some contracts that are really at their heart intended to divert public money away from public education, and even to vote those contracts down. However, the current composition of this council, with four Republicans and just me as the lone voice, has consistently supported the commissioner, and has also consistently supported Board of Education members we also appoint, who share his philosophy.
So there's a couple good points you just brought up. You know, this is a way, the Executive Council is a way to hold the commissioner accountable, hopefully, in decisions that are being made. You know, to, like you said, you approve the contracts and different appointments and things, and having you as the lone voice for public education right now, well, I know that you're there opposing certain things and asking the questions that need to be asked, but as you said, the makeup is really against us at this point. So that's, you know, even more reason that we need to get some more pro public education folks on the council to help us do everything that they need to be doing. So how can our members help you in your efforts to keep the privatization of public education in New Hampshire at bay? Because we know, I mean, I'm just gonna say it, we know that that's what the commissioner is trying to do, dismantle public education and make it all private. So how can our members help you in your efforts to keep that, you know, at bay?
Well, as you said at the start of this podcast, elections matter, and this election really matters. We are headed down a very bad road. If you really look at where the commissioner is taking us, you need only look no further than Croydon. Really, what he would like to see is that model where we have completely defunded public education. Parents are left on their own to find some sort of other way to educate their children. Obviously, nothing like the bedrock that public school provides for every community. And that's the direction we're going in, and people need to know it. And so talking to their friends and neighbors, first of all, voting, please vote. And, you know your candidates. I'm very proud to have the endorsement of NEA, and I have a primary challenge, and I hope that people will support my candidacy, but also I've recruited candidates in every other district who will support public education. And we really can put this state back on the right path. We can really start to get at the issues that are keeping our children, are holding our children back. We can maybe finally address school funding issues. We can fund even higher education in a way that our young people will want to stay in this state and learn here and live and, you know, raise their own families here. So that we have a real opportunity in this election, but everyone needs to get out and vote. They need to talk to their friends and families, volunteer on a campaign. We need help. We need help making phone calls, donate to a campaign, knock on doors, whatever you can do to help, volunteer, put up a yard sign. Every little bit helps, and talk to your friends and neighbors.
Yeah, I don't think we can, you know, underscore that enough. Elections matter.
You need to get
out to vote, because they do matter. So without a majority of public education supporters on the Executive Council, which is the current makeup, What new damage do you think awaits our schools if the commissioner is left unchecked for the next 2 years?
I would foresee a continued assault on educators. It is really, his disrespect for the profession is really remarkable. To think that he honestly believes that teachers are unnecessary and the people untrained, people can guide students and they can learn on their own. So I think the assault on teachers and on all educators will continue. I think that continuing to divert money away from public schools such that it will become financially unfeasible for communities to continue funding the public schools adequately, so they will have to cut back on their offerings in the schools. And then ultimately property taxes will go up. I think you'll also continue to see, when I say the assault on our teachers, this criminalization of actually teaching and tying the hands of our teachers to do what they're actually trained to do. You know, teaching and learning from our history is critically important to get guiding us forward to the future. And they're really trying to stifle the ability of teachers and intimidate teachers into not teaching. And that is all in the agenda that Frank Edelblud has planned.
I couldn't agree more with, you know, with all of that. I taught U.S. history in eighth grade social studies for 18 years, and something I told my kids every single year was, you know, we study history so that we don't repeat the past. Or we do repeat it if it was good. The problem here, and we've been saying this all along, you know, we just want to teach the truth in history, teach the truth in education. And so, that's definitely under attack and will be. So looking kind of ahead, we know the primary is September 13th. You do have an opponent in the primary, but then the general election's really not that much further away after that. You've touched on this before, but do you want to add anything else about what you really think might be at stake in this election cycle? We know it's an important election cycle, but really what is, in your opinion, at stake in it that we need to really be so concerned that we get people out to vote?
Well, there's so many things. Let's talk broadly. You know, women's reproductive rights is at stake. And, you know, our public schools are at stake. Public health is at stake. And our democracy, quite honestly, is at stake. I also want to address the fact that under the current administration, we just continue to see an obstinance about enacting appropriate gun safety laws that are supported by the vast majority of people in our state believe there should be universal background checks and believe that weapons of war don't belong on our streets. And, you know, we need to come to a place where children feel safe in schools, where parents feel safe sending their children to school. And we really, you know, need to address this issue. We finally need to address the school funding issue. And we really need to lower the cost of higher education so students will stay in our state and live and work here. So I mean, there's so much at stake in this election, and you know, we need to chart a path forward that reflects the real values of New Hampshire. New Hampshire, as you said at the outset of this podcast, families wholeheartedly support their public schools and their teachers. Most of us remember our first and second grade teachers. They had a huge impression on our formative years. And it's, you know, it is the bedrock of a democracy to make sure that every single child gets a good education, can have that opportunity to, you know, fulfill their full potential. That is our duty and our obligation as citizens of this country. And we need leaders who understand that and will lead us forward in that direction.
So really, we're voting for our future in this election. I mean, in more ways than one, there's so much at stake here. You know, I think something to remember, when you vote and who you vote for, you're going to be electing people who are going to be making policy for education. And that has a direct link back to every single member that NEA New Hampshire represents, as well as any educator in New Hampshire. Because the people we elect are going to be making that policy. And right now we have people making policy who don't understand education, quite frankly. They don't understand public education and the value of it. You had talked about just, you know, briefly, the majority of voters in New Hampshire want common sense gun safety laws. The majority of voters, or the majority of people, were against, you know, banned concepts, and they were against the vouchers, and those still got snuck in by people who had been elected. So, you know, with everything at stake, this, I think this election, as you said, is one of the most important that we've had in a while, because of everything going on. So this is, you know, it's big. Anything else you want to add in?
Yeah, when you talk about how these things were snuck in, they really were sort of inserted into a budget bill instead of actually voted on in the legislature, and they do not reflect the values of our state. And what we really have happening in our government right now is we have some really right-wing extremists who have really extreme positions who do not reflect the values of our state, and they are controlling the Republican Party right now. The Republican Party can't get anything done without them, and they are really running the show. And it is that philosophy that you saw played out in Croydon, which really would be, you know, when the townspeople realized what, you know, had happened, they rose up, and we saw the support for public education and for educators. And it was heartening for me to see that. People, we need to harness all that energy and know that this Commissioner of Education would bring Croydon to your town too if we keep him in office and if we keep these kinds of people running our government. So this election could not be more critical to the future of public education.
Yeah, that's right. So again, you know, we have Councillor Warmington. She has a primary on September 13th. We have recommended her. I'm more than open to answering questions people might have on, you know, why we recommended, but it is primary September 13th, the general election in November. So thank you again for coming in today. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, we're behind you and we'll get out and vote. And we're really hoping, and we know we're going to see you in the Executive Council next year, and hopefully we'll have some support with you.
Great.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for all of your support.